The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Goes for the Dallas Cowboys, and we're the Bills, and I can't wait to rub this in his face. He's been telling us this for over 10 years about Dallas. Now it's the Bills! Charm. Dallas is going down, Gary. Only Buffalo is going to win it. Dallas is going down.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go, Buffalo. Hey, hey, let's go, Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna.
The national spotlight isn't too big for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills as they take over Dallas on Thanksgiving and beat the Cowboys 26-15 to go 9-3 on the season. Hello everyone, welcome to this special Thanksgiving Day victory recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. I'm your host Nate, and we are going to discuss this Bills victory today in prime time, or prime time national spotlight, whatever you want to call it. We're going to go over our thoughts on the game, some stats of the game, our plays of the game, and as always, our wall of famers and wall of shamers with some help from our amazing followers on Twitter. And we're also for this special victory podcast, recap podcast, we're going to announce a new giveaway for next week's episode. So this is going to be really fun, really cool. And Mike couldn't make it. Our co-host Mike couldn't make it tonight, obviously with family, as a lot of you and a lot of us are. But I'm joined by my co-host, John. John, isn't this victory, isn't it a great way to start the holiday weekend with the Bills victory?
Nate, all I want to say right now is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Oh man,
you know, the camera early in the game panning up to Jerry Jones and he's high-fiving whatever, and then third quarter he's got his head in his hands. Great.
That was awesome to see Jerry Jones just like his arms folded, just kind of like looking really sullen and sulking and just not happy about what was going on. That actually made my, you know, I was funny, I tweeted this on Twitter, is it reminded me when they showed Terry Pegula high-fiving Bean and everyone else in their box. I kept thinking of that. He's just going to like flop his nuts onto, you know, Jerry Jones, the table of Jerry Jones's suite, just like stepbrothers, right?
Where are you going? I'm going upstairs. Cause I'm going to put my nuts hat on your drum set.
Just like, hey, how you like that, Jerry? Oh man, I don't know why I thought of that, but what a great victory. What a great time to talk with you. What a great time to talk to our listeners and all the Bills fans out there I would argue, John, that this podcast, this victory might be one of our most important podcasts. I mean, even maybe second to the time that the Bills ended the drought with that win over Miami and then obviously talking about it after the Bengals win against the Ravens. Like, this might be the biggest victory we've had since then. Is that possible?
I think it might. I mean, so the Bills are 9-3 now, which is impressive. Like, we talk about statement wins and this and that, but like, this is really shaping up to be a statement season, which I think is more important. And for them to get this ninth win on national top on Thanksgiving, I think that's huge.
Oh yeah, I mean, let's go right into that discussion. I mean, there was lots of talk about Josh Allen going into this game. Is the spotlight going to be too big for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills in general and Sean McDermott? Is he going to prepare this team to be ready for this? Because Sean McDermott has played three different Thanksgiving football games, but the Bills have not done it since, 1996 as a team? So a lot of these guys aren't used to it, haven't done it. Obviously, Cole Beasley has, as he had his revenge game today, an amazing game by Cole Beasley. We're going to get into stats later, but I mean, how good was it to see him just, you know, destroy the Cowboys secondary? And then you also talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, Josh Allen had an amazing game. He was picking apart, you know, the Dallas defense, and he just looked so comfortable. He was hitting guys in stride. He was making plays when they mattered. He was good on the ground. And I was just astounded because, I mean, we know he's good. He's impressing. He's improving. And I guess I'm thinking of the Patriots game, right? The Patriots game is probably one of the biggest games that Josh Allen has played so far in his young career. And that it just didn't go very well. Now, the Patriots have a great defense. The Patriots are a great team. But, you know, going into this game, I was wondering, you know, how is Josh going to fare when he's put up against it? But I mean, he removed all doubts. He stepped up in a huge way, and you know, the stage just wasn't too big for him. Were you worried, John, going into this, that the stage might be a little too big for Josh? And you know, what did you think of his overall play?
I don't think I thought of it too much, because I think I had faith in McDermott in preparing the team such that that wouldn't be an issue. You know, obviously it's an away game and, you know, national game and all that, but I didn't really worry too much about that. And I thought Josh Allen played amazing. I mean, it was like, I think there was 5 incompletions for him on the day. He had rushing yards. He had the great fourth down where he picked up the bad snap and somehow got over the line. And he was on target all game. I thought he played really well. And I was just looking up a small minor correction. You mentioned first Thanksgiving since 96. Actually, the last was 94.
Oh, was it? Oh, thank you. Thank you for correcting me on that one. You know, it's funny. I heard that secondhand from my wife's uncle. So that's his fault then. Don't give me, you know, blame for that. That's Uncle Pat's fault. So he can,
this is last. So like last week, they're 8-3. This week, they're 9-3 or 8-3, 9-3. In both instances, the last time they were that record or better was in 96. So maybe they was thinking of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Uncle Pat was thinking of that too. He should have really done his research on that before I got on the podcast, to be honest. It's funny, cause he told me that today. What was great is, I don't know if this was like this for you, and I'm sure a lot of listeners, but I definitely wore some Bill stuff to Thanksgiving Day. Today we spend it with my wife's family, and tomorrow we spend it with my family. And, you know, I had the kids all decked out in Bills gear and stuff like that. And luckily my wife's family they're all Bills fans. So some of them are from Buffalo. So they're all wearing their Bills shirts and stuff like that. And, you know, it was just a cool atmosphere. I don't remember, like you said, it's been since 1994. So what is that, 25 years? I don't remember the last time the Bills played on Thanksgiving, to be honest. And this was just a fun time. It was cool. It was, you know, especially with the victory, I'm high-fiving my brother-in-law. You know, we're eating our dinner by the TV. We're not eating it with the rest of the family. We're eating it separately. So as you should. So how about John, real quick, before we get into more of the game, how was your game day experience on Thanksgiving? Were you decked out today?
Oh yeah, I had a Fred Jackson jersey on. I was the only one in attendance with Bill's stuff on.
Great. All right, man. So let's get back into the game. I thought the offense, I thought looked great. I mean, Dable, another you know, well called game from the booth, I imagine. I don't even know if he was on the booth. It doesn't matter. Like I said, mentioned earlier, it was a revenge game for Cole Beasley. He had over 100 yards in the game. Allen played well on the defensive side of the ball. Defense were getting after Dak Prescott with sacks, forced some turnovers, forced turnovers on downs, a couple of times, which were huge. There was one instance, I believe, in the third quarter where the Cowboys were driving. They were down 23-7, and it was fourth and goal, and they decked through an incomplete pass to Ezekiel Elliott. So, I mean, the defense was just all over the ball today. I mean, you won't see it in the stat sheet because the Cowboys had a ton of yards, but, I mean, they didn't score that often, and they had a lot of chances to, and the defense came up big when it mattered to you. What do you think, John? I thought Ed Oliver had an amazing game on this. We talked about the stage not being too big for Josh Allen. I feel like Ed Oliver has been really coming into form the last few games, and on national spotlight, I think this was his coming out game. He had that forced fumble against Dak Prescott, which was key, because how many times do you see these defensive linemen just go for the sack instead of just going for the ball as he did against Dak and just knocked it out. Trent Murphy picked it up. Great play. I love the play of Ed Oliver today. And I'm hoping that this is something that somehow reaches into the rest of the season and possibly into the playoffs, which how well he's with how well he's playing. What did you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's tough too, because he plays a position that you don't normally get a whole lot of flashy plays from. But he definitely asserted his dominance today, and you could see it, through the season, him having good games, if you watch him. But yeah, if he keeps this up, their defense as a whole is just so good too,
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was an impressive day for everyone on the defensive side of the ball. You couldn't help but be excited to see, after minus that first touchdown drive in the first quarter, they just held Dallas.
I feel like that happened in the Giants game too. Like that first drive, they Saquon and mm-hmm. They went down, they scored real quick, and it was a great drive. But then the Bills pretty much held them the rest of the game.
Yeah, great analogy there, for sure. And then, we can't not talk about our thoughts on special teams for today's game. I mean, I was going to say Hauschka had a terrible game kicking, but man, look at the Dallas kicker. Holy cow. He was off. He was even worse than Hauschka, if you could have been. It's like, just goes to show you, it feels like there are almost no good kickers in the league this season. I mean, the Bills have faced two terrible kickers already, and this guy, I mean, he, wow. I mean, what would you think of Hauschka? I mean, I guess he did pick it up in the second half of the game, but I mean, it was a little discouraging, him missing an extra point, him, the 50-yard field goal, okay, I get it, but then him going off, him missing the extra point, and then, getting a field goal with, banking it off the uprights, this is a dome, man. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, he lined up for the kick that went off the post. I said out loud, well, if he misses this one, they're not going to be able to trust him the rest of the game. And then he doinked it off the post. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, man. That's funny. It's funny. So let's go into our stats of the game for today's game. Stats of the game, the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, 19 for 24 today, 231 yards and one touchdown. Also, so do you know what that completion percentage ends up being? Yep, almost 80%. Almost, it's like 79.2 or something like that. Almost 80% completion percentage on national TV. What a great John Brown. Can't go without saying John Brown, 1 for 1 today. 28 yards, one touchdown. John, we're going to go into our, plays of the game later, but how nice was that play, man? What a great dial up on that play by Brian Daboll. It was a handoff to Andre Roberts, and then Andre Roberts pitches it to John Brown on an end around. John Brown passes the ball 28 yards to a wide open Devin Singletary. I mean, people, and we've criticized Daboll somewhat just for his overall game playing, not so much play calling, but I mean, how nice was that play? I mean, what did you think when you saw that?
That was a Tecmo Super Bowl play right there, Nate.
I love anything where you pass, where you any type of handoff or toss to another person that throws a ball that you don't think is going to throw a ball, and it's like, what? I'm just a sucker for flea flickers and all those types of trick plays, especially when they work like they did today. So it looked good. I remember Daboll kept dialing up flea flickers last season, and I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen any. I wonder if we'll see one in the Patriots game, or he's saving them. I hope he's got them up his sleeve, though. On the ground today, Devin Singletary's 14 carries for 63 yards, 0 touchdowns, 4.5 yards per carry. So a good day by Devin Singletary. Josh Allen, 10 carries for 43 yards, one touchdown. He had that one long touchdown scramble, I believe, with 17 yards, where John Brown had that really good block in the end zone. That was a cool. Frank Gore, not a whole lot of yardage today, but that's all right. You know, 9 carries for 11 yards, 1.2 yards per carry. That's cool, Frank. You know, we just need you to grind us out in the end of the game. And then receiving the ball. I mean, we talked about this earlier. Cole Beasley's revenge game, 6 receptions for 110 yards, 1 touchdown, and that was all on 7 targets. Devin Singletary had a great game receiving. He was a second highest receiver, 3 receptions for 38 yards, 1 touchdown on 4 targets. So a great game by Devin Singletary. Isaiah McKenzie, 3 receptions for 34 yards on 3 targets. John Brown, 3 receptions for 26 yards on 4 targets. And Robert Foster, 1 reception for 20 yards on 2 targets. And of course, I guess I should mention Dawson Knox, 3 receptions for 17 yards on 4 targets. He did have that one drop, but I guess the Cowboy defender got his hand in there, so it wasn't a real drop. So Ed Oliver, Micah Hyde, Trent Murphy all have forced fumbles today. Trent Murphy did have that fumble recovery today from Ed Oliver's forced fumble. Starlet Hulele with that one interception today in the, I believe it was the second quarter, when Dak Prescott threw it, almost it was like a broken screen pass play. And he ended up throwing it right into the hands of Starlet Hulele, and Starlet Hulele bobbled it for about 10 minutes, and he ended up catching it. And the Bills didn't do anything on the ensuing possession, but that was just a really good play to end that drive, and, you know, it was just great turnover. Tremaine Edmonds leading the defense in tackles with 7 tackles today, 7 solo tackles, 1 assist. Micah Hyde had 6 tackles, 4 assists. Taron Johnson, 6 tackles, 2 assists. Sacks on the day, Shaq Lawson had a half sack. Trent Murphy had 1 sack. Ed Oliver had 2 sacks, which we mentioned earlier. Jordan Phillips had a half sack. Just a great game by the Bills all around. I mean, we mentioned, you know, Steven Hauschka. Steven Hauschka was 2 for 3 today with a long of 41 yards, and he was 2 for 3 on extra points as well. All right, let's go to the Cowboys side of the ball. Dak Prescott had another amazing fantasy game, at least. 32 for 49, 355 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Ezekiel Elliott, 12 carries. Kind of surprised by that. Only 12 carries. 12 carries for 71 yards, 5.9 yards per carry. I think a lot of that had to do with game flow and the fact that they were down by so much that they couldn't throw, or they couldn't run the ball. They were just throwing the ball a lot after that. You have receiving. On the Cowboys side, Amari Cooper led all receivers with 8 receptions for 85 yards and 11 targets. Ezekiel Elliott had 7 receptions for 66 yards on 10 targets. So Zeke, not so much rushing the ball, but a lot receiving. Michael Gallup had 3 receptions for 63 yards and 6 targets. So a lot of receiving yardage. But in the end, you know, it didn't matter. Bills came away with a huge win. It was a great game. We're going to take... Actually, before I do that, let me give some other stats of the game, some quick hits on just some interesting things. The Bills' 26-15 win over the Cowboys marks the team's first win on Thanksgiving Day since. John, let's do a quick quiz on that. When was the last time that the Bills won on Thanksgiving Day? Now, you know that the last time the Bills played on Thanksgiving in 1994, I will tell you that they did not win that day. That'll be my hint to you. So when was that? That's what you were going to guess. I know it was. So I'm going to save you from that. What year do you believe was the last time the Bills won on Thanksgiving Day?
I'm going to go 92.
92. Interesting. No, it was 1975. Not even close. Not even close. It was against the 32-14 against the St. Louis Cardinals when St. Louis had a team and they were the Cardinals. So...
they've actually played on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know how many they've actually played. Not a ton. So Ed Oliver had his first multi-sack game today. Cole Beasley recorded his third career 100-yard game and his first with the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen set a new Buffalo Bills franchise record with his 8th consecutive game with 2 touchdowns. Josh Allen has now produced 9 career games with at least 1 passing and rushing touchdown, surpassing Dak Prescott for the 3rd most passing rushing touchdown games in a player's first 2 NFL seasons. Josh Allen completed 11 consecutive passes. That is the longest streak of his career, which that was a pretty cool feat. Star Lotulelei had an interception today, and the last time he had one was as a senior in Bingham High School in 2006. He actually returned it 12 yards for a touchdown against Hunter High School. Just a little fun fact like that. John Brown holds a perfect passer rating of 158.3 after throwing his first career pass attempt for a 28-yard touchdown to Devin Singletary. Brown is the first Bills receiver to ever throw a touchdown and marked the ninth occasion of a non-QB throwing a touchdown for the Bills. You know which one just came off the top of my head of an example of that? What was it, Ryan Denny or something? Was it against the Seahawks one year he threw a touchdown pass to, or was it the backup quarterback threw one to Denny?
I think he caught it. I don't know if it was from like
was it Mormon threw it?
Yeah, maybe Mormon was the holder and then he threw it or something like that.
Oh yeah, just no one covered him. He was just out there in the.
Fred Jackson threw one too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Josh Allen's completion percentage, 79.2%, and passer rating, 120.7, both marked career highs. Ed Oliver and Daryl Talley are now the only Bills rookies in team history to record a three-game sack streak. Oliver now has four sacks and a forced fumble in his last three games. So Ed Oliver coming on strong in the second half of the season, as we hoped he would. And with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And after that, we're going to go into our plays of the game and our wall of famers and wall of shamers. So stick around.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. This is our recap show that we do after every Bills game during the season. So if you're new to our podcast, if this is the first time you're checking us out, we do one after every game during the season. And what's great about our podcast channel on Buffalo Rumblings is that for whatever reason, we miss anything during this recap. And, you know, we only have so much time to talk about this stuff. Somebody will definitely pick it up on our podcast channel, either Rumblings Q&A, Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, Believe, The Nick and Nolan Show, Blitz Bills, The Mafia Mavens. Like, someone will talk about it and will also prepare you for next week's game, which is going to be against the Baltimore Ravens after 10 days rest. So that'll be nice. It'll be good. So I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm with my co-host, John. John, so it's into one of our favorite segments of the podcast. Our sweet, sassy molassy plays of the game.
Sweet, sassy molassy. Get out the checkbook and pay grandma for the rubdown.
So, John, there was a few really, really awesome plays in this game. I mean, we mentioned one earlier. If I had to give you one play of the game for today, what is your sweet, sassy molassy play of the game?
I got to go with the one that we talked about. I mean, I'm also a sucker for those types of plays, and it might not actually be the play of the game, but for me, I'm going to go with that one.
You're talking about the Josh Allen handing off the ball to Andre Roberts. Roberts pitches to John Brown. John Brown throws a beautiful ball to a wide open Devin Singletary for 20.
Yes. That's what I'm going to go with.
A little trickery and a pass to boot. Wide open. Singletary with the Buffalo touchdown. John Brown throws the touchdown pass.
There's a couple cool stuff. You're going to see a handoff and the reverse this way. And you see Singletary leak out the sideline. And just, wow, that's when your coach can get you a touchdown by design. And look at that throw. Perfect spiral.
For the touchdown. I like that one. I like that one. That's not my play of the game. And I'll tell you why. Because there was a play right before that that was integral into getting that touchdown. And I'll tell you which play it is. And it doesn't show up in the stat sheet as anything specific, but during the game, it was 4th and 1. The Bills are deep into Cowboys territory. And Allen does it, which is nice. I love that the Bills do a QB dive because it's such a high percentage play. But while the ball's hiked to him, somehow it either gets dropped or he fumbles it or whatever, he somehow finds a way to, like, in that mound, in that heap of players and linemen, he finds the ball and he picks it up and he somehow reaches over the pile and gets a first down and more. He runs for a few more yards. And that play right before that, that's what leads to that amazing play that was your sweet sassy Mulassy play of the game. So
they're going to try it again, aren't they?
Yeah, 4th and 1 and a mishandle on the snap. Allen picks it up and he's still going. Look at Josh Allen.
Oh, my goodness. Whoa, watch this. It's a bobble. He picks it up, and he's tackled. And then, this is why his teammates love him, though. He is a football player through and through.
I got to give a ton of credit to Josh Allen for just, I mean, you heard Tony Romo talk about it. He's like, dude, this is why his teammates love playing for him. He is a football player. And
good one. That's like a Tecmo Super Bowl when you're in excellent condition. You have a 99 for hit points or whatever, and or hitting power, and he goes across the line and like it almost like blows up the defensive line. It didn't really, but like it almost felt like that, you know?
Yeah. It was just what a headsy play. I mean, it could have gone so many different ways, and the Bills, they ended up going from losing the ball, turning the ball over on downs to getting a touchdown. It was a huge swing. And it was integral in the Bills' win today. And it just goes to show you, man, you could, I'm starting to think more and more each week we talk about Josh Allen's improvement as a passer, his improvement as far as, you know, a game manager and, you know, deciding, just being a very headsy player and determining when to throw the ball, where to throw the ball, not throwing the bad, you know, not making bad decisions with the ball. And I'm starting to think more and more that this dude's a franchise quarterback. But if he's, for whatever reason, if he's not, he's just so freaking fun to watch, man. You got to root for him if you're a Bills fan. If you're a fan of football, man, and you don't have a rooting interest in either team, I mean, Josh is just fun to watch. He's just, I love it, man. I'm so glad that he's our quarterback. Because how many times do we used to see quarterbacks just checking down and just take the easy way out, throw the 5-yard hitches or whatever. And it's just like slowly move the ball. This guy is so exciting to watch.
Yeah. I'm not worried on third down anymore. Like in the past, you hit third downs, like, just punt it because you'll probably turn it over or get minus yards or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm excited when it's third down. It's like, they got this.
they, or at least they could, you know,
have a chance.
Yeah, there was that long. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I was gonna go on a tangent. You go first.
No, okay, I'm not gonna go on a tangent. So there was that long third down play. I believe it was in the first quarter where Josh Allen hit Cole Beasley, and Cole Beasley ended up getting like a 30-something yard gain out of it. And it was just like he's just hitting him right in the hands, man, in stride. Just so. Yep. Beautiful to watch. It's, you're right. I mean, when it's third and long, it's definitely not a, I mean, they may not get it, but it's definitely not out of the question that they can get it. It's a possibility for once. So I love that point. That was a great point, John. What were you going to say? Tangentially?
Oh, yeah. So, like, we're talking about the fourth and one play. So how ballsy of it was for Dallas on their own 20 to go for it on fourth and one like that? I mean, it was less than a yard, but, like, they messed that up. Like, that would have been terrible for them.
Yeah, they ended up getting it. But, man, I was thinking at the time, I'm like, ooh, this doesn't sound like a Jason Garrett sort of thing. I always thought he was a little bit more conservative, but that, it was definitely a ballsy call.
Called him to the headset and said, you better go for this.
Jerry Jones. Oh, man. Now we're recording this, you know, on Thursday night. Do you think Jason Garrett gets fired tomorrow or something like that? I mean,
no, but I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like that happens a lot after a team plays the Bills, like their coach gets fired afterwards.
No, is that speaking to how well the team is, or just like how low every other front office views the Bills? It's like, oh, you lost to the Bills? Like, you deserve to be fired. I feel like it's more of a disrespect than it is giving us credit, don't you?
Well, it's something.
It's something. Whatever that something is. Unsure of what that is, but oh man, too funny. So let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers for today's game. Our Wall of Famer of the game is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago Casino and Resort. John, do you know what the line was for today's game? Do you remember what it was?
I think it was like 6.5 or something. It started at like 7.
Yeah, it would start at 7. Yep, you're right. By the time we ended our podcast recap last week, I believe it was 7, and it went down to 6.5. And man, if you put a little cash on it at Del Lago, you know what's funny is
they should have given the 6.5 the other way.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I mean, Mike and I looked at that spread and we're like, geez, we got to bet on that, right? I mean, 6.5. Even if the Bills lose, I don't see them losing by more than a touchdown. And it just seemed like it was an easy bet. If you're a Bills fan, that's the thing about, you know, Vegas and everything like that. Like, they don't, whoever sets the lines, they don't know the team like you know the team. Now, they know the Cowboys better than you know the Cowboys. But, I mean, you know, as a Bills fan, you're like, they're never usually out of it by that much, especially against a team that's not the best, who hasn't, up until this point, the Cowboys really hadn't beaten any good teams to get to 6-5. So this was easily a game that the Bills could have won. So if you made that bet at Del Lago Casino this last Thursday, you made some cash. So that's pretty cool. Let's go. So Wall of Famer for today's game. Wall. John, you want to start this one out, bud, or you want me to do it?
Well, I mean, I got a lot of names. Why don't you go?
You got a whole wall. You have a whole stadium wall.
Yeah, big wall.
Famers. The stadium wall at New Era Field is blank, and John is just going to fill it up. So I have a couple of players who I thought had a great game, but I think I'm going to give it to Josh Allen just because of all the reasons that we mentioned. 80%, almost an 80% completion percentage. The stage wasn't too big. And you know what? I think one of the reasons I'm making him my Wall of Famer is that this bodes well. I mean, the Bills are going to be playing harder teams potentially in the playoffs, but this bodes well in that the stage won't be too big for Josh and a lot of the other players for the Bills. I think the coaching staff, like you mentioned, John, is going to have them prepared. And it's encouraging. I'm really not as scared as I was. The Bills going into the playoffs this season, depending on who they get, you know, matched up against. But even so, there is a potential that they could win any game this season. And I think that we should all be encouraged by Josh Allen's play. One of his most complete games, you know, that he's had against a decent opponent. You know, he had that one, you know, a couple of weeks ago against Miami. But this was, this might be his best game ever that we've seen from him. Statistically, it's not amazing. He only had, 230 yards passing, but he just looked in command all game. Didn't take any big hits unnecessarily. He didn't throw any hero balls. Just he's on my Wall of Fame. John, what about you?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with also Josh Allen, as well as Cole Beasley.
Oh, good one.
And Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier and Ed Oliver.
Wow. You know, Ed Oliver was my second choice.
Mike wouldn't like that, but I'm going to name off all those things.
Oh, you would have heard a giant sigh from Mike. Mike would have been like, come on, man. Like, really, five? Why don't you just name the whole Buffalo Bills team, man? Oh, Mike. So I love the Ed Oliver pick. He was actually my runner up. Just with the game he had today, dude, I'm just loving what he's bringing. I mean, how nice is it to see these like first and second round picks the Bills are picking not be busts, you know? And you know what? We didn't mention this either is Cody Ford today. I mean, he didn't seem to be, you know, I mean, the Cowboys have a great defensive end in DeMarcus Lawrence. He's one of the best in the league. And, you know, you didn't see him that often. You know, there were, I believe, three sacks against the Bills today. But, I mean, even so, it wasn't terrible. There were times when Josh Allen had it was just a ton of time to pass the ball in the pocket. He looked like he could, you know, he just had all day. And he didn't look flustered back there. He didn't have, what is it called? When you get really nervous feet back there, like you have to run. You know, it was like, you know, what we used to get with Tyrod when Tyrod had too much time. He's like, well, I guess I can't just sit back here in the pocket. I got to run, you know, because I just, so Josh Allen and Josh Allen used to be a little bit like that. And I think this, you know, today's game was just proof that and this season for the most part is that he's, you know, he's staying in there and he's letting his protection, you know, let his receivers get open. So really happy about that. And you're right. The game planning by, you know, Leslie Frazier, coach, you know, McDermott getting everyone prepared and yeah, man, just a great game. It's a great game. It feels good, man. It feels good after this. This is one of the, like I mentioned before, maybe one of the biggest games the Bills have won since the end of the drought, the week 17 game. I mean, maybe the Minnesota Vikings game last season was a big win, but you know, that season wasn't going anywhere. They were just trying to prove that they weren't the worst team in the league. You know, it's a wall of shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
For today's game. I mean, I can only think of one specific, actually a couple, but I can only think of one. I'll go first this time. I guess I'm just going to give it to Steven Hauschka. Like I mentioned before, that missed field goal. I mean, when you think about it, that wasn't that big of a deal. It was a 50-yarder, even though it was in a dome. But then the extra point, I don't know, it's just like, man, I hope that extra point doesn't come back to bite us. Luckily, it did not. The Bills ended up winning anyway. But yeah, Steven Hauschka, wall of shame. What about you, John? Who's on your wall of shame?
It was, for the record, you went first both times.
I think I had some good stuff to talk about.
I'm going with the refs.
Oh, good one. Now, was it the inconsistency or was it just that the Bills had to beat not only the Dallas Cowboys, but the refs today to win?
Yeah, this, the biased officiating of the refs.
Yeah, so I was rewatching the game before we got on to talk about it, and you know, I think they were just bad at calling penalties, because there were a few penalties that went the Bills' way that I think that if they were really calling it against the Cowboys, like, remember that Dawson Knox pass interference play? It was like on the 10-yard line of the Cowboys. You know, Josh Allen throws it up and the other guy doesn't turn around and, you know, Dawson Knox can't get to the ball. Do you remember that one?
Didn't he like hit Knox before the ball got there?
He did, but I could totally see that if the refs are as bad as they are, they won't call that one. They'll be like, he was kind of hitting him at the same time the ball would have been there and stuff like that. So that one actually I didn't think would go the Bills' way, but it did end up going the Bills' way. But I guess you're probably talking specifically. Is there a specific penalty you're thinking about that really frustrated you?
I remember there were a few early on that they've eluded me just because I just try to. So, like, this one wasn't one of the ones I was thinking about originally, but like, okay, so Hughes kind of comes in at the end on Prescott or whatever. It's like, okay, I guess that's a call, but come on, type of thing.
Oh, was that the one where Prescott was running?
Yeah.
He didn't slide?
Yeah, I mean, oh. I don't know.
What the hell? Was that the one where they didn't even blow the whistle? No, I'm thinking of the Jordan Phillips one. That was most frustrating too.
That was one of the first ones I was thinking about.
Yeah, both.
It's like certain things. Like there was one where like Allen should have got they hit Allen after he gave himself up, and that should have been another 15 yards, and instead they had a punt. Right, Brady would have got 15 yards easy.
Oh yeah. That was frustrating too. It was like, wait a minute. I thought we were, it's inconsistent. I thought we were calling that penalty if you hit the quarterback late. Dak wasn't even sliding. They hit him slightly late, I guess, but he was a runner and he was still standing up. He wasn't even, and then, Josh Allen slides. He gets wrecked. And it's like, no penalty. Like, what are we even doing here? What's going on? For sure. It was frustrating today. Do you think it was one of those things where the refs were like, well, we kind of screwed the Cowboys last week because we called two non-tripping plays so that the Patriots could win the game? So let's give them one today.
Well, that's assuming it's the same crew.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure they all talk to each other. that's a good one. So the refs for you. That's a good one.
The
so
big now. That's great.
I'm sure they all have lunch at the same place. There's like a cafeteria of referees just all hanging out, you know, just talking about how crappy they are and how terrible they are. So I posted on Twitter, as I always do every week after the Bills game. And if you're not following us on Twitter, please do. We are at CTW Pod, as in Circling the Wagons Pod. And I was asking for people's Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers for today's game. So Mike Taylor is in. Mike says, Wall of Fame, not even going to try. I mean, Josh Allen, obviously, but an amazing overall win. And I know the whole team is not an acceptable answer. Just like, you know, it's an acceptable it's an acceptable answer this week, Mike, because our co-host Mike isn't on today. So you can say whatever you want, man. It's all good. Everything goes. Wall of Shame, Hauschka, again, please get rid of him. So you know what's funny is I was definitely disappointed with Hauschka. He made my Wall of Shame as well. I'm just not ready to get rid of him yet. I think the Bills should definitely bring in more competition next season, maybe more so than they have. Beanie is in. She writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Mother Effing Allen, and my entire family for bawling when we won. First time in my life we've been 9-3. That's awesome. That's great. Wall of Shame, the refs legit making up calls. The mysterious Trey White penalty and the missing Allen penalty. Yeah, there was that Trey White, what was it, hands to the face or legal contact or whatever. They weren't really good at showing replays on some of these penalties, I feel. She also writes, I'm officially believing that the NFL wants certain teams to win. Well, they wanted the Cowboys to win. Luckily, that did not happen. So Jason Statham is in.
My name is Jeff Chelios, and today is the day that I die.
Now, Jason Statham, now, mind you, all of our listeners, which we do have several listeners in the UK and in different countries, now, they did not get today as a holiday. So, I mean, they're staying up till what? I have no idea what the time difference. I think it was like 6 hours difference, right? So the game started for them at like 10 p.m. So they're finishing around, you know, 1:32 in the morning. And they're tweeting at us. So for all of our UK listeners that are tweeting to us and messaging us, I really appreciate it. Because actually the next two I know for sure are from the UK. So Jason Statham writes, Wall of Fame, the entire Buffalo Bills team for turning it up on primetime TV on Thanksgiving, rolling into Dallas and making them Cowboys look like Woody from Toy Story.
There's a snake in my boots.
I love a good Toy Story analogy. Wall of Shame, CBS coverage, just pure bias. It's late over here. I'm off to sleep with a smile on my face. Good for you, man. Get some sleep, Jason. You deserve it. Dude, what did you think about the I'm glad he brought that up. What did you think about the bias from CBS with Tony Romo and even Emmitt Smith, right?
Yeah, it was kind of hard with so many people to actually hear the announcing. I definitely heard the Emmitt Smith one when Hauschka missed the field goal.
I didn't hear that, but I'm glad I saw people on Twitter tweeting about it because, like you mentioned, like I'm kind of talking to people. It's much more of a crowded atmosphere at Thanksgiving in general. So I didn't hear the coverage, but I mean, I heard Tony definitely seemed like he was. I mean, as he should. He's a former Cowboy. You know, I'm not really surprised by the bias, to be honest. Like when we interviewed Bruce Smith a few months ago at this point. You know, he was super psyched about watching the Bills. I mean, he would be talking to fans that went to go pick, you know, get pictures with him. And, you know, he would stop when there was a big play, you know, during the game. So I understand that these guys want, you know, their former teams to win. So I totally get it. You know, the bias is whatever. It is what it is. I know some people are more upset about it than I am. It's just these guys want their former teams to win. You know, what can you say? Dave writes in, Wall of Fame, everyone, almost. I know you hate group awards, but that was a statement win. No, correction, Dave. Only one of us hates group awards, and that's Mike. We can just crap all over Mike because Mike's not on this podcast, so it's all good. It's all good. It's okay, John. We do the same thing for you when you're not here. So we'll stop doing it once you listen to him while we're... You're like, hey, wait a minute. You do? Guys? an amazing team performance, except for Hall of Shame Hauschka. It's a dome for bleep's sake. Plays of the game. There's almost too many to mention. I'm going with Star for his field goal block at the end of the first half. Jeez, I didn't even realize Star had the field goal block. I thought it was just a missed kick. Good catch on that one, Dave. So here's Richard Griswold, Richard W. Griswold. He gave us a lot of Wall of Famers, so I'm going to kind of condense it a little bit. He has he had a lot of, like, you know, John Brown, you know, Cole Beasley, a lot of those guys, Allen. But then he also writes something that we haven't really talked about yet. Shaq Lawson, making Bean's job tougher. A half a sack, two tackles for loss, two QB hits. Bill's coaching staff, he also puts on the Wall of Fame. Aside from one botched extra point, this game plan was a thing of beauty. Marvelous timing, too, with the national, and he shows, like, the TV with the little eyes. I'm sure he means primetime, national audience. Wall of Shame, Sean Payton. Jerry will walk you out. I don't think he means Sean Payton. I'm thinking he's thinking of Jason Garrett. Jerry will walk you out. And Dak Prescott, Wall of Shame. Lingering doubts, not silenced. Shaq Lawson, man. If you had to, you know what I'm worried about Shaq Lawson, and we haven't really talked about this a whole lot in this podcast, is that it always worries me, like with Shaq Lawson, Jordan Phillips, these guys on one-year deals or the last year of their deal, that they're performing their best that they ever have. Now, is it a matter of, you know, they're really that good and it's finally coming together for them? Or is it the matter of they know that they're going to make a huge paycheck if they really step up after the season? Now, do you ever have that wonder between either Shaq Lawson or Jordan Phillips?
I don't know. I mean, like the contract year stuff, I feel like for the most part, 99% of the time, players are playing hard all the time, no matter what, because it's what they do. And if you're not playing hard, or then I don't know, like it just might be working out coincidentally sometimes that way in contract years, depending on like who you play in the matchups and everything else. But I'm not sure.
I mean, I think both of these guys are going to demand a lot in the open market as it stands right now. But I'm curious, you know, if we end up franchise taking one of them, you know, just to see, hey, is this really a thing? Or, you know, are you for real? Because if you're for real, I mean, if Shaq Lawson ends up, you know, becoming a major part of this defensive line, I mean, you know, that would be huge because we're always looking for defensive end help. And yeah. So I think the price tag might be too high, but we'll wait until the offseason. Eric Helwig is in for the Wall of Famers. Wall of Fame, offensive line, gave Allen the best protection of the season, which we touched on. Josh Allen proves he's accurate when given time. Cole Beasley made the Cowboys pay for their mistakes. Kevin Johnson with a big game. Ed Oliver with his best game. And the only shame will probably be forgotten, but Hauschka has to go. So I guess I'm just not ready for Hauschka to have to go. I mean, I always think of like, well, who's out there that's better? Because, you know, it's so hard for these players. I mean, we've seen a bunch of kickers go down in IR and the people that are replacing them aren't that good. And, you know, I don't know. It's tough to find a good kicker. I'm curious. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they could always look, you know, after next year's draft or, you know, they pick up somebody late sixth, seventh round or undrafted to compete, you know, and they usually bring in somebody in training camp anyway. So who knows? They might end up somebody different next year. Maybe not.
Yeah, I believe they have. I can't remember if they have 9 or 10 draft picks next year, but I mean, I wouldn't mind using like, I don't know, like a mid to late round pick on a possible kicker. Just don't use it like a top 3 or 4 round pick. I mean, I don't know if that's, or a first round pick. Who did that recently? The Cowboys? Or no, not the Cowboys. The Buccaneers, I think, did recently. It was a second round pick. I don't remember, but
the Raiders have done that in the past too, with both, I think, a kicker and a punter. Like I think Ray Guy was a second round pick, and the what's his name, Shane, the guy who kicks it long, Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh yeah, Jank. Yep.
Wasn't he an early round pick?
Yes, I believe he was a first round pick. Yeah, I don't ever want to do that though. TV nerd came in. She says Wall of Fame, the 9-3 Buffalo Bills for showing the world what they're really made of. It's so nice that, you know, you always want the team to do well, but you also want the rest of the NFL, the NFL audience and the players and everyone else to see how good the Bills are. So that was huge. I kind of tweeted, you know, after the game that after the Bills go 9-3 and they beat the Cowboys, the Bills have to start pushing for, you know, top 10 in all these power rankings. Cause up until now, the Bills are definitely, for the most part, you know, below top 10 even with 8-3. You know, people are like, eh, who have they beaten? Not that the Cowboys, at a 6-6 Cowboys team is going to really help their case. But hey, you know, I mean, they should be considered a top 10 team. I mean, they almost beat the Patriots, right? I mean, for if it wasn't for like four or five turnovers and a blocked blocked punt for a touchdown, the Bills win that game, you know, for everything to go wrong. So she also writes, Wall of Shame, the commentators, just admit the Cowboys aren't as good as you want them to be. That's awesome. Thank you, TV Nerd, for writing that in. Yes, it's like, hey, Tony, you know, just give the Bills some bleeping credit, which he did towards the end. But yeah, the Cowboys, yeah. Sorry, we're not just here to watch the Cowboys. It was like they kind of went in with the assumption that the Cowboys were going to win. And I think kind of felt that narrative, you know, or kind of followed that narrative. And it's like, oh, maybe the Bills could actually win this one. Yeah, you think? Kathleen writes in, man, a lot of lady listeners writing in. I love it. Ladies are in. Kathleen writes in, the Wall of Fame, the offensive line. Oh, no, did I already read this one? Did she copy someone else's? Oh, no. She literally almost wrote something that was exactly what someone wrote. Eric Helwig wrote before. Offensive line gave Allen the best protection of the season. That's literally almost word for word. Allen proves he's accurate when given time. Hey, I think we have a controversy on the podcast. Kathleen is literally writing almost the exact same thing that Eric Helwig wrote earlier. Eric, are you afraid we're not going to get to you? Do you have to write it under your wife's Twitter account? What the heck's going on? Beasley made Cowboys pay for their mistake. Kevin Johnson with a big game. Oliver with his best game. Okay. All right, Eric. All right. Maybe the lady listeners aren't all in. That's funny. That has never happened before. A little bit of a controversy there. That's funny. I don't care. You can still keep writing under two different names. Whatever. We'll probably get to one of them. Dave Thorpe writes in, 9-3, baby. Dominated the number one offense and the number six defense. That's great points. Wall of Fame, Josh showed maturity, poise, and leadership all game. Honorable mentions to Ed Oliver and Starr. Both had an inspired game, especially the first half. Now, John, you know what's funny is people were calling for Starr's head. They're like, we need to dump this guy. As far as I'm concerned, the last few weeks, he's really stepped up his game. I mean, not that I was worried that he was the reason why that, but the Bill, you always look for blame when the Bills are getting gashed up by the run and they're losing, you know, when they lost against the Browns. Are you worried at all about Starr, and are you okay with him? I mean, I guess not even, should they even worry about cutting him after this season, in your opinion?
I think they've been doing good with the rotation, and when I think the defense has just made good adjustments after they had, you know, a few games in a row where they were getting beat up on the run. I think Zeke was doing good today on the run too. I mean, well, he had a 30-yard run, so it might skew the stats a little bit. I don't know why. You mentioned it before. I don't know why they didn't give it to him more on the ground. I think the rotation's been fine, and I think that the coaching adjustments and the play calling has been good. They've made good adjustments, so I think they've been fine there.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Starr too much at this point, especially with the way he's been showing up the last few games. And also, you know, you have to remember that Harrison Phillips is coming back next season, and he plays the same one technique role that Starr plays. So there'll be a better rotation in there. I know Corey Legit's doing a pretty respectable job, you know, in the wake of Harrison Phillips, and I'm glad they signed him. You know, give more credit to Brandon Bean for finding these guys, you know, in the middle of the season when major guys go down, which I don't believe there was any major injury today too. So you figure, you know, you go into the 10 days until the next game against the Baltimore Ravens and, you know, no major injuries, knock on wood. So even Robert Foster was active today and played. And I thought after he pulled up last week that he was not going to play this week, or at least a few more weeks, but he did, man. Megatron writes in. Now another lady listener. Man, geez, I'm not doing this on purpose. They're just that well-written. Wall of Fame, Cole Beasley and Josh Allen for not showing any nerves and delivering the game of his life. Wall of Shame, the refs for calling non-existent penalties. Good call there. For sure.
You guys ready to get weird tonight or what? For sure.
Oh, looking straight grizzly.
Here's one from Joe Magley. I don't know if we've ever read one of Joe's tweets, but I love it. Josh Allen all the way for the Wall of Fame. Wall of Shame, house losing money. scared me when leaving 4 points on the board in a tight game at the time, for sure. I think we were all thinking about that. Are these going to come back to bite us, or are they not? Joshua Taylor writes in, for the first time. All right, Josh. Joshua. First time with the Wall of Fame, Wall of Shame comment, but Wall of Fame? By the way, if you were, you should absolutely write in if you've never done it before. There's a good chance that we're going to read it. So Wall of Fame, Josh, Beasley, and Ed Oliver. They really set the tone today. And Wall of Shame, Hauschka and the Horrible Refs. Also honorary mention. Wall of Fame, Jordan Phillips for mocking Zeke and Trey Save the Day White for mocking Dak. Jadavious White is easily my one of my favorite players of the Buffalo Bills in like the last 10 years. He is just, he's awesome. He's so good. He's hysterical. He's funny. He's likable. He's so likable.
He could probably also goaltend for the Sabres.
Yeah, right. You're right. I bet you. I hear that he's one of the best goaltenders in Louisiana. I think you're right. I think he could be a goaltender. He should start up his own school, his own goaltending school.
I'm not just a spokesperson. I'm also a student. Get down. Butterfly. Have butterfly. You got a veteran. Represent Betray Academy. Come on.
And then we'll end it with this one because I haven't read one from Phil before. So Phil Perry writes, 9-3, 10 exclamation points, Wall of Fame. The Bills as a whole, but it's late here in Blighty. Let's say Josh, as my son, will wear his 17 shirt with pride in the morning. I have no idea where Blighty is, but I think it's from another country. Wall of Shame, refs and the doubters who are munching humble pie, not turkey. Nice, man. So with that, we're going to end the Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers, brought to you by our partners over at Del Lago Casino and Resort. Check out the DraftKings Sportsbook over there for, you know, like we did last week. Our podcast was recorded from the DraftKings Sportsbook. So that was fun. We're going to do another. So speaking of giveaways, one of the cool things about our partnership with DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago Casino is that they gave us some items to give away. So we're not doing one of their items this week just because I haven't picked it up. I forgot to last week. That was my bad. But we have something really sweet. So if you didn't notice last time, Adam Talmadge, one of our listeners, won the John Brown signed autographed jersey that we gave away. Now, you know, I dropped it off last week. Luckily, he lives in the same town. You know, we stopped. I had a beer. You know, we hung out. No, I didn't. I didn't see him. I just stopped it. I dropped it off on his back door. It would have been kind of weird if I met him. Not to be honest, I feel like I kind of know him, but he was super cool. Messaged us, thank you so much. He was so grateful. Really cool. Happy for him to win. We have about 50 or 60 people in a giveaway rotation, not a rotation, but just in a pool of people that can win. And if you're wondering how you can win the next giveaway, what you have to do, and I'll repeat this again after I tell you what the giveaway is. You have to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Now, go to Buffalo Rumblings. Just search Buffalo Rumblings. And on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a 5-star review. Now, somewhere in that review, you have to say CTW is circling the wagons, because I won't know if it's just a great review for our great podcast channel, which, you know, there's a lot of great podcasts within this channel, like, you know, Nick and Nolan Show, Blitz Bills, all those guys. So you have to mention CTW is circling the wagons there. You also have to leave your Twitter handle or possibly your Instagram handle or whatever it is, because I am going to read that as the winner. So if your handle is at the Bills Dude, then your review handle should be at the, it should be the Bills Dude. It shouldn't be like Jeff HKB 2360. Like, don't do that. Just leave it as your Twitter handle. Make it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. And then all you have to do is, you know, just, you know, follow us on Twitter, obviously, or Instagram or Facebook, whatever's easiest for you. And let me know. And if you don't have, you're like, oh, I don't have an iPhone or I don't have an Apple. Well, you can still make an iTunes account, because a few of our listeners actually have done that. They create iTunes accounts and left us review an Apple podcast that way. So go ahead, give that. If you have any issues, make sure to message me and I'll help you sort it out. So this week's giveaway that we're going to announce next week, the winner for, is a Tremaine Edmonds signed autographed jersey giveaway. Now, this is an extra large jersey. It is, I believe it's a blue one. I can't remember if it's the blue or the white one. Either way, it's still a jersey. It's got his authentic signature. It's like one of those, you know, they have like notaries for like signatures for sports memorabilia so that it's not fake or whatever. So this is what this has along with it. So this is completely free to you. Obviously, I will pay for shipping. That's why I'm kind of hoping it's someone within this continent, you know, because we have a ton of listeners, like I mentioned before, in the UK and other parts of the world. So I'm hoping this is going to be a close one. But yeah, so this is a Tremaine Edmonds signed jersey. Again, leave us an Apple Podcast review. Follow us on Twitter. And I'll also post this on Twitter and in all different areas of social media. So hopefully you guys are all following us there on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. So good luck to everyone. We will be announcing a winner next week. If you already want, or if you're already on the list for the giveaway, you just have to stay there because you already left us a review, which we appreciate greatly. Just helps our podcast channel in general reach more people. So appreciate you guys doing that. John, do you think, you know, should Adam be allowed to win this Tremaine Edmonds jersey since he already won the John Brown jersey? Should I take him out of the list for the running?
No, I think it starts over. I think you can win again.
You can win again. Ooh, really? All right. The rich get richer. All right. All right. I like that. All right, Adam. Adam's still in. I know everyone, though that's already in the pool that didn't win last time is like, son of a bitch. But I will say, though, the other thing I didn't mention earlier is that you have to listen to the podcast every single week. Because if you don't win, like a few friends of ours, you know, a few listeners, they didn't listen every week, so they did not win. I believe we went 4 or 5 weeks before we actually announced a winner. So I'm not sure how many weeks we're going to go. It could be next week. But if you do not listen when I announce your name, I'm not going to contact you. It is not my job to make sure. I'm not your parent. I'm not going to try to make sure that, you know, I'm going to give you this this free jersey, this free signed autographed jersey. So you have to contact me. And Adam did literally on Monday. That Monday morning, he's like, thanks for the jersey, guys, blah, blah, blah. That's how you do it, okay? So anyway, so good luck to everyone there. So next week, the Bills play the Baltimore Ravens in Buffalo, and that's going to be a really exciting game. John, you feel better about the Bills Ravens game now that the Bills won against the Cowboys, a game that we didn't necessarily think they were going to win when we first did our predictions this season. So now they literally only have to win like one more game to guarantee their way into the playoffs.
Well, two things. First of all, I did predict a win at the beginning of the season.
Well, that's only because you had the Bills going 16-0, right?
Still.
Well done, then. Good job.
I wasn't worried about the Ravens to begin with.
Oh, wow. No, good for you. Didn't they beat – I can't even remember what they beat the Rams by last week. It was like 46-8 or something stupid like that. It was –
Rams, man.
The Rams. It's the Rams. Oh, okay. Fair enough. Hey, the Rams were in the Super Bowl last year, dude. But it's also Jared Goff, and we'll see. But yeah, okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Like I mentioned before, if we missed anything today or if you want to be ready for next week's game, please check out the rest of our amazing lineup on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast channel. Feels so good to be 9-3. Bills winning on Thanksgiving Day. First time they've done that since 1975. And man, it's going to be a good weekend. Going to be a great weekend. So signing off for John.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. Enjoy 9-3. Enjoy the holiday season. And enjoy this Bills 2019 anthem by recording artist Dom Brown. And we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
Buffalo is the mafia. Buffalo is the mafia. Yeah. It's the Buffalo Bills, ay. It's the Buffalo Bills, ay. Buffalo is the mafia. Josh Allen, Frank Gore, John Brown, who's stopping us? Trey Edmonds, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes, who blocking us? I don't see nobody stopping us. Number one, no one on top of us. What they gonna do when Matt Milano coming with the blitz off the edge? Don't you throw it in the air, cause Trey White and Micah Hyde will intercept. Star Lotta, Louis double team, now the team getting easy sacks. Jerry Hughes with the double moves, coming straight for the quarterback. Take him down, take him down. McDermott clapping on the sidelines, and the crowd going crazy. Mafia is on time, circling the wagons. With the mafia, yeah, circling the wagons. Nate Arbor, where you at? Buffalo.
is the mafia. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo 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 is the mafia. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. Josh Allen, Frank Gore, John Brown, who's stopping us? Jordan Poyer, Trey Day, Rizzo, who blocking us? I don't see nobody stopping us. Number one, no one on top of us. Mitch Moore snapped at Josh Allen, looking down the field. See no one open, so he scrambled right. He sees somebody open, but he off balance, so he gotta be focused. Dawkins with the block, Allen with the shock. 70 yards, will it be caught? Zay Jones or Cole Beasley? Down the field, past the whole roll. So that's Robert Foster, make it so easy. Touchdown, new era field, rocking every Sunday. Got a hangover on every Monday. House money kicking, you know we winning. Josh Allen passing, who gon' pass us? With Devin and Frank, you know we great. If you're not a Bills fan, we don't relate. Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Nate Arbel, Don Brown on the podcast. Who's stopping us? Circling the wagons with the mafia. Who's stopping us? No one.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.